Lesson 3 of the overview of the Bible. I entitled this Inspiration and the Authority of Scripture. Lesson 4 would be the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And lessons 5 and 6 I split. It's basically the wisdom of God that we glean from His Word. And then we'll get into a Bible timeline in lesson 7. And then from 8 on, we will be diving into the books of the Bible. I set up the Bible timeline chronologically to the best that I could figure out. I know that there are some different camps when it comes to the book of Revelation. And I'm of the opinion that it was written in the 90s, not before the destruction of Jerusalem. So with that, we'll get into those discussions later on in our study. But tonight we are going to look at this particular lesson, Inspiration and the Authority of Scripture. We are going to see that how do we recognize sacred writings? By a number of ways. We are going to look at it. First of all, it comes to us through the Old Testament. And it's important that we understand that Scripture it came from God. All Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, and we shouldn't shy away from studying the Old Testament. That's essentially the history of God's children, the Israelites. And by studying that, we can learn many lessons from them, especially when they fell into sin and God turned their backs on them. So it's important we understand that the Old Testament and the New Testament came from God, and it's for our instruction. We also recognize that the sacred writings were delivered by Jesus. When he was here on earth, he quoted many scriptures. And he not only lived under the Old Testament regime, he showed it honor, and he came to fulfill the Old Testament. We also recognize that the scriptures, the sacred writings, were delivered by the apostles. They were inspired men who boldly taught what Jesus had given them through his ministry while they were with him. And they were led by the Spirit so that they will have a recollection of Jesus' his teachings so that they could share his message with the first century people. And then again, as it was recorded for us, so that we may have an understanding of what God tells us in the scriptures. Also, the early church, the first century church, as we read in the New Testament, they examine the scriptures, something that we as Christians should always have on our minds to examine scripture. Just because someone gets up on a podium or in front of a group and expands upon scripture, we have to remember we have to study it ourselves. We shouldn't rely on someone's opinion or someone's interpretation. We as Christians should search the scriptures so that we may have a better understanding of what the word is as we review it in our lives and apply it to our lives. True, we have some individuals that will lead us, some individuals that will help us on our journey through this life, but more important, it's up to each individual to search out God's word and apply it to his life. The second area that we are going to cover in this lesson is the inspiration of Scripture. The authority of Scripture recognized in the Old Testament. When God delivered the Scriptures and the men who wrote God's word via the Old Testament had one thing in common, and that is to show the people, show the Israelites, and show all nations that this authority wasn't made by man, didn't come from them, but came from God. Also, the inspired scriptures, the authority is recognized in the New Testament. When we look at scriptures in the New Testament, there are many, many things that we learn, and there are many, many things that we should apply to our lives so that we can have a right relationship with God, so that we could walk with God and stay free from sin. We have examples of that. We have one that comes to mind is the Apostle Paul. We understand what he went through before he was a Christian. He was persecuting Christians. When he was converted, he did a complete 180 and started working for the Lord. And we all came from that environment. We were baptized into the body of Christ. We became a new creature, and it's up to you and I as Christians to go on that journey here on earth so that one day, by God's grace and mercy, we may have eternal life. And also, Jesus Christ claims scriptural authority for his own words. When Jesus was here, many people challenged him, the Pharisees and Sadducees. Even his own brothers and sisters who were with him when he was growing up. However, when we as Christians examine the totality of the Bible, we could see that Jesus has all authority. He was with God in the beginning when the world was created. He was offered up as a sacrifice so that all mankind may have forgiveness of sins. And eventually, and we see in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, he ascended and sits at the right hand of God. So Jesus knows that his words have authority, and it came from God. And when we examine the Godhead, we see the three, as we see it, three individuals, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all have a equal say. And they are, and when you look at them, they're God. And all scriptures is inspired by God, and it's for us to apply to our lives. So with that, we're going to jump into the first question. If I get going here. Not yet, but when we look at the Bible, it's the Bible is the inspired word of God. And the Holy Spirit guided men in writing the Bible. There were over 40 people that had some 40 writers that put together the Bible, and it all has the same theme, and that is Jesus Christ is coming to the world to save it. And he died on the cross. He was buried, and on the third day he rose again. And the Old Testament points to Jesus, and there are many, many prophecies concerning his coming, and he fulfilled those prophecies. And the Bible is the authority of God. It doesn't come from man. We know that there are a lot of learned men who are very capable speakers, very capable teachers. However, the Bible came from God and no one else. So when they put their spin on it, on with their commentaries, you know, some are really good. However, you as an individual should be looking at the word and trying to ascertain what God says to you and also apply it to your lives. So with that, the first question I propose is, what did the Israelites say after they heard the reading of the Book of the Covenant in Exodus chapter 24, verse 7? Can I get someone to read that for me, please?
Then he took the Book of the Covenant and read in the hearing of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient.
Thank you very much, Eileen. So when Moses took the Book of the Covenant and read it, all those people heard about it, and they heard God's word. And what did they say? We will be obedient. Well, when you look at their history throughout their journey through time, we see that they fell short of that. When we read the scriptures, we know what God expects from you and I, and we do fall short too. We're human. However, we have an advocate, and that is Jesus, that we could go to God and ask for forgiveness. How wonderful is that? When you look at the Old Testament economy, they asked God's forgiveness, and the priests offered sacrifices, but those sacrifices didn't cover their sins. It just pushed them out. All their sacrifices did was push those sins out until Jesus came and died on the cross. So his blood that he shed not only flowed for people from the New Testament on, but also backwards for those who repented of their sins. So it's really important when we recognize the sacred writings in the Old Testament. And when people who are faithful in the Old Testament, they will be obedient. And we could cite many different things. For example, in Abraham, when he was journeying with his wife Sarah, he said, well, this is my sister to what's that king's name? I forgot. Well, anyway, the story goes that he said that Sarah wasn't his wife, but his sister. Well, technically, he was related to Sarah as a sister. But in reality, it was his wife. And he has had to correct that. We have shortcomings in our own lives. And we, as someone who wants to walk with God, someone who wants to live in a right relationship with God, have to correct that. So who heard all the words written in the book of the law in Joshua chapter 8 and verse 34? Can I get a volunteer to read that for me, please?
Then afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessing and the curse, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded, which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers who were living among them.
Thank you, Di. So when Joshua was reading the words of the law, those who were assembled, and that was all of Israel, with the women and the little ones, and those who were strangers were living among them. So they knew about God's word. And their predecessors knew when Moses had read the law. And now this new generation, this new generation was assembled together, and they knew the words of the law that Joshua had read to them. When we read God's word, we should be praying about what we read about and asking God to help us understand those things in Scripture. And we should be meditating on God's word so that we could put it into action in our lives. And when we read in the Old Testament a verse like this, it's pretty powerful to see that there was a commitment at that point in these people's lives that they want to dedicate themselves to God. And what was going to happen? God promised them the land of Canaan. So God had given them a promise, and he was going to live up to that promise. When we read the book of Joshua, we see that these individuals, the children of Israel, fell short of that. They sinned. They didn't follow God's instruction. And it was to their demise, we see as they journey through their history. Also, what did the people do at the square in front of the water gate in Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 and 8? Can I get a volunteer to read those two verses? Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1.
And all the people gathered as one man at the square, which was in the front of the water gate, and they asked Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel.
Okay, and verse number 8.
They read from the book, from the law of God, translating to give the sense so that they understood the reading. Sorry.
No, good. Excellent. Excellent reading. Thanks, Carolyn. So we see that the people that were gathered, they had one thing on their minds: to listen to Ezra describe, bring the book of the law of Moses, which God had given the Israelites. And he read the book, they understood the book, so that they may have a better understanding of what God expected from them. What about us today? Where do we stand Do we allow God's word to rule our lives? Or do we allow the pressures of the world to draw us away from God? That's why we have the Old Testament to look at, so that we can understand how God's people, God's children, desire to hear the things in the Word. And that is pretty powerful for you and I. As Christians, we have a roadmap, if you will, on how we as children of God have to live. And if we follow that, someday that at the end of our journey, we will have hopefully God's grace and mercy He will give us so that we could enter eternal life. So who are the messages in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1? Can I get a volunteer for that one?
I am going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to him, his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, He is coming, says the Lord of hosts.
Thank you very much, Anne. So there's two messengers in this particular verse. So the first messenger we see will clear the way for Jesus. And that's John the Baptist. And we know his story. He went into the wilderness and he started baptizing people, and there was one to come after him that he baptized. And the messenger of the covenant, in whom you will delight, he is coming. And that's Jesus Christ. So when we look at the Old Testament, we see the prophecies. And we see that this particular prophecy was written 400 years prior to the, approximately 400 years prior to the coming of Jesus and his harrower, John the Baptist, and it was fulfilled. So when you study scripture, all scripture, we have to dig into it and see how it's tied together, not only in the Old Testament, but also into the New Testament, so that we can have a better understanding of God's authority in the Bible. So how did the Israelites understand scriptures? I'm in Luke chapter 24, verse 45.
And that opened their minds to understand the scriptures.
Exactly. So he opened up their minds to understand the scripture. In John chapter 7 and verse 38, Jesus said, "He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." So Jesus, it must have been awesome when he was here and to listen to him. He opened up their minds. And we see that when he was crucified and he returned and he was with the apostles for a number of days, they were still in awe. They were still looking for a physical kingdom. But when they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, God directed them, the apostles, to share what he had shared with them so that people back in the first century will understand what's expected. And us today, when we search out the scriptures and see that there is a plan that we have to be following. So the scriptures, Jesus opened up their minds and they understood. And when you look at the first century church, it amazes me. When Paul had said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, he wasn't ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to anyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So we are very fortunate. We had these individuals before us sharing this message. And we have individuals today who share the message of the gospel so that we can be saved. It's pretty powerful. Okay, I think I messed this up here, this particular slide here. What was Jesus's view of the Bible? First of all, it's divine inspiration. Can I ask someone to read Matthew chapter 22, verses 42 to 45?
What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? They said to him, the son of David. He said to them, then how does David in the spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand until I put your enemies beneath your feet. If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son?
Thank you, Faye. So we see that when Jesus was teaching, they didn't understand Jesus. And Jesus used this particular scripture to share with them that King David, whom they knew and revered, calls Jesus his son. He calls him Lord. And how could he be Lord if he's his son? You know, it's divine inspiration. And we just read prior, John 7 and 38, Jesus said, he who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And that's something that we as Christians should be seeking. The inspiration of the Bible, because it comes from God, so that we could add it to our lives. So also Jesus recognized the Bible as indestructible. We see in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Can I get a volunteer for that one, please?
Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished.
Thank you, Carol. So Jesus didn't come here to abolish the law or the prophets. He came to fulfill them. And the way Jesus recognizes or views the Bible, it's indestructible. It's God's authority, and it's recognized as the body of sacred writings. Jesus also views the Bible as infallible. In John chapter 10, verse 33 to 38, I'll read this one. It's a long reading. The Jews answered him, for good work we do not stone you, but for blaspheming, and because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God. So here, the people he's talking to are not accepting him. They're saying, we don't care if you do good works. We like them, but we're not going to stone you for that. We are stoning you because you claim to be God. And Jesus answered them in verse 34, has it not been written in your law, I say, you are gods? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him, whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming? Because I say I am the Son of God. If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do them, though you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. It must have been hard for them to comprehend the message that Jesus was telling them. They had his credentials, the miracles. He was telling them he was the Son of God. And God the Father was in him. And he is in the Father. But they didn't recognize that because they had their own conception of things. Again, human authority. And they didn't recognize Jesus as being the Lord. Jesus also viewed the Bible as the final authority. We see that in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. A quote from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Can I ask someone to read that for me, please?
But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Thank you, Eileen. So when Jesus was here and he was teaching, he quoted the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. And we are humans. We need sustenance to sustain our lives. But more important are we need sustenance for our spiritual walk. And when we look at the Bible, we get that. How about Matthew chapter 4, verse 7?
Jesus said to him, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test.
Thank you. And so we see that when Jesus was talking to these individuals, he quotes again Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. Don't put the Lord to the test. You know, we test God as Christians when we turn our backs on him, where he says, this is what you have to do. And we decide, well, you know, we'd rather do our own thing. It was happening back in the Old Testament. It was happening in the first century. And it's happening today. We have to get our acts together. We have to dedicate our lives totally to God. We should have him as our priority first in our lives. So the final authority Jesus recognized is the Bible. Last verse, Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. Again, he alludes to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13, and chapter 10 and verse 20, when he's talking to Satan, who was tempting him. Can I get a volunteer for this particular verse?
Then Jesus said to him, go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only.
Now, here is one of the fallen angels, Satan. And he understood God's word, but he was trying to pull Jesus away. He was trying to make him worship him, Satan. But he knew it wasn't going to work because Jesus used scripture to defend against Satan. That's a lesson for you and I. When we come across things, we should be using scripture to define our lives, to guide our lives, to instruct others, to lead them to the gospel. Jesus also viewed the Bible as foreshadowing. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, can I get someone to read that for me, please?
For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth.
So what does that foreshadow? We know that Jonah was in this sea monster's belly for 3 days and three nights. What about Jesus? 3 days and three nights. Well, after he was crucified, he was placed in the tomb. And then on the third day, he arose again. So there's a lot of foreshadowing in the Bible. How about Matthew chapter 24, verse 7?
For the coming of the Son of Man will be like the days of Noah.
Ah, let's go back. Very good. And so what happened to the days of Noah? He was telling the people back then to turn away from your sins and repent. And he was building this huge boat. Well, Noah and his family and their wives were saved. And Noah's wife was saved. Jesus came down in this earth. And he saved not only you and I, but all mankind. He gave them the opportunity to put on Christ so that they may have eternal life. So there's foreshadowing in the Bible. We have to look at that and understand. And that's why it's important when you look at the books of the Bible, when we start looking at them, I'm going to bring into the fact that Jesus can be seen in these books that were written. And it's fascinating because everything points to our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Also, Jesus recognizes that the Bible is factual. In John chapter 17, verse 17, can someone read that for me, please?
Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth.
Exactly. So God's word is truth. It's not that a story that someone put together and said, well, yeah, here's what I think is happening. But God actually inspired men, and he had the Holy Spirit guide them in writing these words so that we may understand how we are supposed to live. We also know that the Bible is Christ-centered, and it's unified. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 27, can I get someone to read that for us, please?
In the beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures.
Thank you. Thank you, Ann. So we see that Jesus was saying, from Moses and the prophets, that the the Israelites had. In fact, Paul said they had the oracles of God. They knew what the law was and what was happening. And Jesus picked up and started talking about Moses and the prophets. And all these things point to Jesus in the scriptures. So it's factual and it's unified and it's all points to the Christ. We also see that this script, Jesus's view of the Bible is spiritually clear. In Luke chapter 24, verses 24 through 27, and I'll read this. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women also had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets had spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in the scriptures. So Jesus recognized that the scriptures are clear. Spiritually clear, and they point to him. And finally, Jesus recognizes his view of the Bible are for those who have faith. And can I get someone to read Luke 16 and verse 31, please?
But he said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead.
Thank you, Di. So we see that people back in the first century didn't believe. They didn't listen to Moses. They didn't listen to the prophets who were the mouthpieces of God. And even if they seen Jesus arise, a lot of people didn't believe. But those who had faith believed in him. We didn't have, as Christians today, we don't have what they had back in the first century. But we have the words of God, the authority of God in the Bible to guide our lives. So what was the purpose of the writings of the Old Testament? And I have two verses that we could look at, Romans chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, and Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Who would like to read Romans 1, verses 1 and 2?
I will, bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scripture.
Thank you very much, Carol. So Paul, he calls himself a bondservant of Christ Jesus, an apostle. And his mission was to preach the gospel. When he uses scriptures, he said, well, this was promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. So the Old Testament was the foundation that God had put together for humanity to have for salvation. And he continues in chapter 15, verse 4. Can I get a volunteer for that particular verse?
For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope.
Thank you. Very good. We see that this particular verse, whatever was written in earlier times, and he was referring to Old Testament times, it was written for our instruction. Since there are nothing is going to be added or taken away from the scriptures. We have the whole Bible in front of us. That's written for our instruction, to guide our lives, to give us encouragement so that we may have hope. And that hope is in the gospel. So Paul's statement to the saints at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. So the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, led these individuals who had written the Bible and had gone out to present the gospel to people. It didn't come from human wisdom, but it came from the Spirit. It came from God. And these individuals combined not only the spiritual thoughts, but with the spiritual words. They understood what the Old Testament, what God's word pointed to. Jesus understood what God's word pointed to, and that was to him. And these apostles who went forth and spreading God's word did it boldly. And that is an admonition for you and I to apply to our lives when we go out and try to influence others to obey the gospel. And when they reject you, they're not rejecting you per se. They're rejecting God's word. And just as Paul said, shake off the dust of his sandals, we should do the same. So what did Paul share with the saints at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4?
For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures.
Thank you very much, Eileen. So Old Testament shows that the Messiah was ordained to die, to be buried, and then to be raised from the dead. Came from scriptures. And we have the scriptures right there. Genesis 22, and we won't read these. Verse 8, verse 14, Psalm 16, verses 8 to 11, Psalms 22, Isaiah 53, and Hosea 6 and verse 2. So the apostles relied on the Old Testament. It was a big part of teaching. We also should rely on that also in our presentations. So what were the results of the writings of the Old Testament in 2 Timothy chapter, and I forgot. I think it's chapter 3, verses 14 to 15. Can I get someone to read that for us, please?
You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are available to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus.
Thanks, Ty. So we see that Paul is encouraging Timothy. He had instruction in his childhood from his grandmother and mom. He knew what was in the sacred writings. He knew what was in scripture. The Old Testament, which he was guided through his youth. And that leads to salvation. And here's the qualifier, true faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Something we as Christians should have on our minds. it's important to make scripture very important in your lives. So what was the attitude of Saint Epiphania towards the scriptures in Acts chapter 17? Verses 10 to 11.
The brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, exclaiming the scriptures daily to see whether, examining the scriptures daily, to see whether these things were true.
Here's an example for us today. Here's these saints at Berea, and they received God's word, and they were very eager to listen and have it in their lives. And they were examining the scriptures daily so that they could see the things that they were taught were right. Are we examining scripture when someone presents that to you and I? Are we just taking it at the individual's word? We should be studying. We should be applying it. We should be living it in our Christian walk of life. So by what means did the Holy Spirit admonish the Israelites? And what were the results in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 30?
However, you bore with them for many years and admonished them by your spirit through your prophets, yet they would not give ear. Therefore, you gave them into the hands of the peoples of the land.
So here's a prophet, Nehemiah. Thank you, Faye. who's saying, Jehovah God admonished them by the Spirit through the prophets. Did they hear? No. So what did God do? God turned his back on his people. It must have been heartbreaking for God because they didn't accept God as their king. How are we today looking at that in our lives? We should be accepting God at all times. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul says to the saints at Corinth, which things we also speak, not words taught by human wisdom, but those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. So when Paul was teaching, he wasn't using human wisdom. He wasn't using flattery of speech. But yet he was using God's word. And the Hebrew writer in chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2, starting with verse 1, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. So Jesus was with God. And now that we have the New Testament to guide us in our spiritual walk of life, it's up to us to put it into action in our lives. So the inspiration of Scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. We read this a couple of lessons ago, and actually lessons 1 and 2. And can I get someone to read this again for us, please?
All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness.
Thank you. So we see that all scripture, thank you very much, Carolyn, by the way, all scripture is inspired by God. It's profitable for the teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. And by the end of this particular class, we're going to understand this and apply this to our lives and share it with others. Because we have God's word and we're his stewards right now to bring others to Christ. Okay. Now, the authority of Scripture is recognized in the Old Testament in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Can I get a volunteer for that one, please?
This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success.
Thank you very much, Eileen. So, this book of the law, he's referring to Mosaic law. They should, he's recommending that they meditate on it day and night, apply it to their lives at all times, and do what is written in it, and make sure that they don't deviate from it. And it will make their ways prosperous, and they will have success. The word that we have, God's word, and if we live it and put it into practice and also show others that God is in us, we are Christ-like, we are going to bring others to him. We are going to do our job, so to speak, to influence others to become Christians. It may not be that they will become a Christian that particular day, but yet it may influence them down the road. And someone else may come along and they'll recognize that, oh, I understood what that individual told me. And this is the way God expects us to live and worship him. And, you know, we're not doing it for ourselves. We're not doing it for someone that said how great we are speaking, but yet we're doing it for the Lord. And that's what we should have on our minds. Back in the Old Testament, they recognize this. And the scripture does from, the scriptures came from Jehovah. And we as Christians recognize scriptures come from God. In Joshua chapter 23 and verse 6, be very firm then to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, so that you may not turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left. So Joshua is encouraging the children of Israel to do everything that's written in the law of Moses. And we know that they didn't keep the law of Moses. We know that they changed it. In fact, it amazes me when they were in captivity and came out of captivity, they changed a lot of things. They came up with synagogues. They came up with the Pharisees and Sadducees, the people who were, quote, knowledgeable of the law. Wrong thing. And we know that there are some religious groups that do that today. We have to stand firm for the Lord. We have to stand up and be his servants and be his soldiers, so to speak. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8, the prophet says, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of God, of our God, stands forever. It's not going to be changed. It's not going to be, you're not going to modify it. It's going to stand forever. And it's something that we should have that indelled upon our brain as we go through our life. And I know we fall short when we sin. Again, we have an advocate, and that is Jesus, to ask God for forgiveness of those sins. So the authority of the scripture is also recognized in the New Testament. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24, can I get someone to read that for us, please?
Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ so that we may be justified by faith.
Thank you. So the law, and he's referring to the Old Testament, is our tutor that brought us to Christ so that we may be justified by our faith in him. We've got three more slides to go, and I'm going to be pushing it here. Again, the authority in the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, Paul says to the saints of Thessalonica, for this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what is it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. So the word of God will work in you, and you will apply your faith to the best you can to serve the Lord. And Jesus Christ claims scriptural authority for his own words. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 34 and 35, may I have a volunteer for that particular verse?
Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away.
Thank you, Carolyn. So we see that Jesus' words will not pass away. And finally, my last slide is not working. Here it goes. Can I get someone to read John 14, verse 10, and John 14, a second volunteer for John 14, verses 23 and 24.
Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his work.
So Jesus recognized authority came from God. And he says that God abides in him. And he does God's works. In John chapter 14, verses 23 and 24.
Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my word. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me.
Thank you, Carol. So we see that we as Christians should be keeping God's word to the best we can. And when we fall short, we ask him for forgiveness. We try to worship God to the best of our ability. And it's up to you and I to share that message, share the authority of scripture that we have, both Old and New Testament. And we recognize that Jesus, when he was here, he recognized it and he used scripture. That's a lesson for tonight.